Well, this morning I'm going to let you know of a little secret. Stewie, don't go to this photo just yet. I'm going to show you a little photo, but when I was growing up, I didn't realise something very important. There are just two yous. Did you know that? You have potential for just two yous, the old you and the new you. And I can still remember the old Matt before I became a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 18. Pretty normal bloke growing up in Perth, Western Australia. But this morning I'm going to show you something that I haven't shown many people. Actually, I have shown a lot of people because they all saw it this morning at the first service. And I'm putting it out there. You may laugh if you like. So feel free to laugh at this. This is old Matt. There he is. That wasn't much of a laugh. I was expecting more. That's me when I was 17. I was all dressed up, ready to go to a percussion concert. And I was a rebel, so I didn't tie my hair back like we were supposed to. And that's the pre-performance look. At some point, those locks turned into dreadlocks. And that's another story. I'll tell you about that one day. But that guy was all about just one thing. Matt. That's it. That's all he was about. Actually, that hair represented something. My rebellion. The hair I grew, it was an outward sign of an inner rebellion. When I became a Christian, my conversion wasn't just to Jesus. It was also a conversion in haircut. It all went and it was chopped off. But you can put that down now, quick. Thank you. Hair is not what we're talking about this morning, isn't it? It's not what defines us, the outer being. We're talking about the inner spiritual being, the transformation that only God can give. Because everyone has the potential for just two yous, the old you and the new you. But here's the thing. You might be living the old you and not even realize it. If you're a new you, you know it. Because you know what old you is like. And you know where new you is going. But if you're still living the old you, you can't tell. You don't know how good the new you can be. God this morning in this little passage tells us very clearly there's just two yous. Here we've got the Apostle Paul talking to Christians in Colossae, and they are in danger of falling back to the old you. False teaching has come in and it's pushing them to turn back to a lifestyle of their old selves. But God says, no. Remember who you were and remember who you are. So firstly, the old you was an enemy with God. Have a look there at just one verse, verse 21 of Colossians chapter 1. Once you were alienated from God and enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. You see what? The old you was an enemy of God and alienated from God. Do you see what this is saying? Not only were you far away from God, you're actually against God. The old you wasn't a fence sitter. The old you is hostile to God. Did you notice the timing of this verse? What's the tense? Is it past? Is it present? Or is it future? Verse 21, did you see it? It's past, isn't it? The past you is the old you. The old you is supposed to be a past reality. The old you is supposed to be your old story. Dead, buried, gone. The book of Colossians so far, we've been in big picture ideas. And we've seen that Jesus is all the fullness of God, the image of the invisible God. He is, all things were made through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You can read that in the Colossians 1:15-20. He's the head of the body. He's the firstborn from among the dead. But now we hone in to us. So have a look here. Here's verses 19 and 20. This is big picture stuff. For in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, what are the next two words in verse 21? Well, in yours it says, once you were, but it actually says, and you. Do you see what it's doing? And you were. Once you were. That's talking about the past. Personal. You. Not up there in the sky. You. So what was the old you like? Well, it's not good, is it? Have another look at the couple of key words there in verse 21. Alienated and enemies. That word alienated, that means estranged. You're strangers. You're a foreigner to God. God was here and you were way over there. But not just that. It's not just distance. It's also attitude, isn't it? Not just way over there, but fully against him. You were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. That's literally by your evil behavior. You might hear that and think, oh, hang on, does that mean it's saying I did the wrong thing and that turned my mind away from God? Well, yeah, partly true. But capture the whole idea here. It's not just saying our actions turned our minds away from God. It's also that our actions are the result of us turning our minds away from God. You know how it works. You do something and then you think something. You think something and then you do something. I do this, I think that, I do this. When it comes to you and God, that happens, doesn't it? I do this, I think that, I do this, and all of a sudden I'm all the way over there. Nowhere near God. And not just that, I'm against him. When I was in high school, you might have picked up, I was a bit of a rebel. And I remember in one music class, I had a teacher called Mr. Pickett. And he was a really lovely teacher. He loved us percussionists because he was a bit of a drummer as well. And Mr. Pickett had marked a test in classical music theory. And I hate classical music theory. I was really poor at it. And my test came back and it was a C, which doesn't mean credit. In the old days, that's a 50%. C is not that great. It's very, very average. At that point, I remember thinking, I really don't like classical music theory. And then I grabbed my test and started scrunching it up in a ball. In those days, we wrote tests on paper. Scrunch it up in a ball. Then Mr. Pickett turned around and looked at me. Said, what do you think you're doing? At that point, I remember thinking, should I keep going? Yeah, let's keep going. And I remember scrunching it up in a tight ball, I'm not proud of this, but then throwing it at the bin as he watched me. Obviously, I scored 2 points, but he was enraged. And I got something bad, I can't remember, punishment. Do you see what happened there? My thinking and my actions steamrolled, and all of a sudden I'm at the serious point of rebellion against my teacher. That's what happens to us and God. My thinking, my actions, my thinking, and all of a sudden I'm against him. Boil all this down, and here's what it is. You and I are enemies. On our own, without any help, we're enemies. You might be thinking, man, that's a bit full on. God loves everyone. Surely I'm not an enemy. Well, you might be thinking, hang on, I don't bother God. God doesn't bother me. How can that be an enemy? Think about that for a second. What if God made everything we've got? What if God made the air you're breathing, the chair you're sitting on, food you're about to eat? What if God gave you every relationship, everything you have, but you don't thank him and you don't acknowledge him? Maybe you push him off to the sideline and do your thing and he does his thing. Well, that's what enemies do. We're not neutral. We're enemies against God. That is the old you. The good news is that can be the old you. The old you is an enemy to God, but secondly, the new you is now a friend of God. Have a look at verse 22 there. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. So stop again. Where are we at here? What is the timing on this? Did you see it? What's the tense? Is it past, present, future? Have another look at the first three words. But now he. The old you was, and you once were. But here we've got, but now he. Can you see the difference? You are responsible for the old you. It's on you. But God is responsible for the new you. He does it. But now he. He has what? What does it say there? But now he has reconciled you, made peace, made enemies into friends. That word literally is made you a friend when you were an enemy. Here we've got a what and a how and a why all in the one verse. Did you see it? What has God done? He has reconciled you. How has he done it? Through Jesus Christ and his death. Why has he done it? Did you see why? To present you to himself. So let's back up the truck. Let's look at those three things just briefly. What has God done? He has reconciled you. What does that mean? It means you were an enemy and now you are a friend. To be reconciled is to be at peace with someone when there was a barrier between you relationally. I don't know if you've been keeping track of all the news last week was all about Andrew Gaff and Andrew Brayshaw. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Andrew Gaff plays for the Eagles and Andrew Brayshaw plays for the Dockers, and they played last weekend and Gaff smashed Brayshaw in the face and broke his jaw and his teeth, and he's drinking through a straw for 4 weeks. Gaff got 8 weeks suspension and he's very sorry for it. The Gaff and the Brayshaw families have now reconciled in the media and everything. And actually, Andrew Brayshaw forgave Andrew Gaff. Have a look at the headlines here. This is Friday's West Australian front page. I forgive him. Brayshaw says no grudge against Gaff. Do you see what happened? There was something blocking there relating to each other. Yeah, Gaff smashed Brayshaw's jaw and made him drink through a straw for 4 weeks. There was a blockage relationally. And when that was removed, only then could there be reconciliation. The wronged one needs to forgive and take the blow from the one who wronged them. God has reconciled people. How has he done it? You can take that down, yeah. He has reconciled you. Have a look again at verse 22. By Christ's physical body through death. Do you see? All the fullness of God comes in Jesus Christ physically and takes the punch. Takes the punch for us. Remember last week, God has held nothing back from us. He sent all his fullness in Jesus Christ. And now he holds nothing against us because Jesus pays the price. So, just like Andrew Brayshaw says to Gaff, I forgive you. I hold no grudge against you. God says it to us. But the difference is Jesus takes the full brunt for us. The cross is where God removes the hostile blockage. It's the point at which a holy God and human sin explosively meet. The cross is where God holds nothing back from us and holds nothing against us. Now imagine Gaff, hears Brayshaw say to him, "I forgive you." How do you think Andrew Gaff, because I saw the footage, he had smashed Brayshaw in the face. He came off the field and he started crying. "Can't believe I did that." He'd never been suspended in his life. Oh, crying like a little baby. How would Gaff have felt after Andrew Brayshaw said, "I forgive you"? No grudge at all. Oh, relief. Now imagine that between you and God. Oh, relief. The best and oldest illustration of this is this book illustration. Forgive me if you've heard it before. It's one of my favorites. Now imagine that this hand is you, and the ceiling is God, right? And here is the book of all your hostility against God, all your attitude of, "No thanks, God, I'm going to do it my way." One of the guys on staff this week said, "Matt, get a few more books. This can be years 1 to 2, and then..." But I'm just not strong enough for that, sorry. So this is all of it. Past, present, future, right? It's all written there. It's not just the things you do wrong. It's your attitude. God's over there, I'm here. Your attitude of alienating God, of saying no to God. It's all written down. Sheesh, my book's bigger than this. But anyway, now imagine this is Jesus. Jesus never turned away from God, never alienated from God, never hostile to God, always trusting, always obeying, the perfect man. When Jesus dies, what does he do? Takes the whole lot on himself. All of it, past, present, future, all on Jesus. Now, what is stopping me and you from relating to God? What is stopping me from being reconciled to God, from being God's friend? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Jesus takes the full brunt of sin. You get it? The new you is now a friend of God because of the cross. Do you know what Brayshaw said to Gaff after he'd forgiven him? Love this. "I'd love to have a beer with him. I'd love to catch up with him." Do you know what God does? He doesn't do this for no reason. There's a purpose. There's a point. Where's it all going? Did you see the last bit of verse 22? Have a look there. "He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to do what? Present you holy in his sight." God wants you with him. He wants you in his sight, in his presence. The purpose of Jesus dying for your sins to reconcile you to God is you with him in his sight. Now, it says present you holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. That is not me. You just saw a photo of 17-year-old me. Do you think he was holy and blameless and without accusation? Oh, no. How does that guy stand in the sight of God himself? That sounds more like Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus is holy. Jesus is without blemish. Jesus is free from accusation. And when he dies on the cross, he says, "Matt, I'll take yours. You take mine." Isn't that amazing? So that now you and I are holy, set apart. That's what it means. It means set apart for God, different, distinct, without blemish, pure, whiter than snow, free from accusation. That's blameless, above reproach. It's a glorious future, and that is Jesus and us because of the cross. So no one can say, hang on, "That Matt Malcolm, he doesn't deserve it. I know what he did, you should have seen it." No, new Matt is free from accusation because Jesus took it all. No one can say, "Ah, what about that sin Matt just did? I saw it." No. New Matt is holy because Jesus died to make me new. No one can say, hang on, that Matt's not, did you see that haircut? No. New Matt is free, without blemish, pure, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The old you was an enemy. The new you is now a friend. If you're not a Christian, I'm really sorry, because you can't say any of that. None. What you can say is, the old me is still me and is still an enemy of God. If you're not a Christian, all you can say, sounds harsh, but it's true, I am now still an enemy of God. Like it or not, you are now still the old you. If you are not trusting in the death of Jesus Christ to reconcile you to God, you are still the old you. Don't kid yourself. You don't become a new you without the death of Jesus Christ paying your sins. The hostile blockage. This book of your sin is still blocking the way. You need to come to Jesus and say, you take it for me, please. I can't do anything. You take it. What's stopping you? Talk to the Christian friend who brought you along. Come talk to me afterwards. Allow us to lead you to the cross, because that's the only way you will be a friend of God. If you're a Christian, most of our Christians here, did you see what it says for us? Easy. Continue. Do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Verse 23, have a look there. He's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish, free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established, firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Do you see how it works? It works as you keep going. The hope holds good as you hold on to it. From the point of view of God, he never leaves you, never forsakes you. From your Christian point of view, you show that your faith is genuine by continuing. He will do it. You do not move from what? Do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. What is that? The hope of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. Do not move. Continue. It's not just to keep believing this thing. It's a stand firm on the rock, be established and secure. So when you wake up in the morning, what do? Check the news? Hang on, just going to check my emails. Well, there goes my Chewies. I have one of them after I check my emails. No. Hold firm to the gospel. Allow it to shape your day, your week, your year, your life. Do you want the weather and your emails to shape your day? Get up and allow the gospel to shape it as you hold on, hold firm. If you're a Christian and you get up and just live life, you're living an old you. Where's Jesus in it? Get up, preach the gospel to yourself. Matt, I remember the old you, great hair, not so great lifestyle. Matt, Jesus died for you. You're now a new you. The old is gone and the new has come, so live it out. Be established, be firm, secure and grounded. That's building language. Continue to be who you are in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at that more next week in chapter 2. But here's the point. There are just two yous. There's the old you. It's an enemy with God. But the new you is now a friend in Jesus Christ.